You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
.500 never felt so good. The Rockets finished off a perfect 3-0 week with a 105-97 win Saturday night in Memphis. That leaves them at .500 on the season at 14-14, finally putting them within just a game of the current Western Conference playoff picture. So, to break it all down, welcome in to a new Sunday episode and a new week here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Today's show, in our usual 3 points recap style, will be focusing on the highlights from Saturday, namely James Harden's historic brilliance with yet another triple-double and plenty of help against the Grizzlies from the likes of Clint Capella, PJ Tucker, and Gerald Green. But to lead off, I do want to address the team as a whole, because really this is the fourth consecutive game of quality play by the Rockets. Now, they've only gotten three wins out of that four-game stretch because the first one, last Saturday in Dallas, the Rockets played very well for 45-plus minutes and then had that meltdown in the final three. Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon all had their low lights, although tip your hat to Luka Doncic, who just had some brilliant plays for the Mavs, a personal 11-0 run in his own right, which shows you why he's the far and away frontrunner for the league's Rookie of the Year at this point. But even with this three-game uptick, and the Rockets now at 14-14 on the year, you can take a glass half-empty view and say, look, they're 14-14. That's well below expectations from a team that went 65-17 a year ago. And actually, it's the identical record they had after 28 games during that ill-fated 41-41 year 3 years ago. But to me, I'm feeling pretty good about this team right now, and I see a couple of big differences between now and then, and that's why I tend to gravitate towards more of a glass half-full view. For starters, relative to that season 3 years ago, the West is a lot better and deeper now. That Grizzlies team, they were one of the lightweights a year ago, and all of a sudden, they have been a very quality team this season. Even after losing to the Rockets Saturday night, the Grizzlies are still 16-13 on the year and inside the Western Conference playoff picture at the moment, led by a suddenly healthy Mike Conley and Mark Gasol. And the Jazz, who are coming into Houston for the next game tomorrow night, that's Monday, they're 14-16 and currently the number 13 seed in the West. That's the squad that, other than the Rockets, was perceived entering the season as probably the top contender and threat to the Warriors in this Western Conference. That's how deep the West is, that if the playoffs started today, the team's largely seen after Golden State as, you know, 2A and 2B, the Rockets and the Jazz. Well, they meet Monday, and right now, neither would be in the playoffs. So because of that, 500 this season is not 500 3 years ago. That's one reason why I'm more optimistic, and I'm not saying I expect the Rockets to be at 500. Just generally speaking, the parity of the West, especially if teams stay healthy, is going to have records that look very out of sorts with historical comparisons, because you're probably going to end up with a 1 seed that wins 56 or 57 games and a 2 seed that wins 52 or 53 at this rate. Maybe injuries change that, but now that we're approaching nearly the 30-game mark, there's nothing that I see that indicates other than extreme parity as the norm, at least for this season, the regular season, that is, in the Western Conference. The other big difference I see with this season's Rockets that has me feeling pretty good at the moment is the leadership. 3 years ago, it was pretty much just James Harden. It was after Kevin McHale had gotten fired. There were certainly signs of a fractured locker room there. They had an interim coach in J.B. Bickerstaff. Now, kudos to J.B., who we saw on the sidelines Saturday in Memphis. He seems to have done well for himself since then. But 3 years ago, that group, you didn't have Chris Paul. You had an interim coach. It wasn't going to be easy to pull things back together. This year, you have Mike D'Antoni, regarded around the league as one of the best coaches. You've got Chris Paul, and even though his shooting form is a bit cold at the moment, he is well-respected for his leadership abilities. And so really, you have that three-headed monster at the top of your organization that you did not have in that ill-fated year of 2015-2016. So that's why I tend to believe that the Rockets are going to be able to right this ship. Because in addition to the brilliance of James Harden, the basketball player, you also have the right frame of mind up and down the roster. And I think the past week, it's not just three wins in a row, it's three wins in a row when their backs were against the wall that speaks so well to the character in that locker room and their odds of being able to turn this thing around. Now, that's not saying that they're going to become what they were a year ago just based on that. The depth issues, the defense, which they're still a bottom five team at the moment, those are real. They need more help. But the first thing you need to do before you can address, I would say, the talent issues is to stabilize, to be in the right frame of mind, to at least maximize what you do have. And that's what we've seen over the past week, and it's been really impressive. Because, yes, your backs can be against the wall in December. When you're 11-14 through 25 games, and you go on an 0-3 road trip, losing 7 of 9, especially the way that game Saturday ended in Dallas last Saturday with the meltdown in the final 3 minutes, it looked like a season that was spiraling and could have gotten away. But really, Mike D'Antoni, Chris Paul, James Harden, they didn't let it. And so even in a week where the Rockets played three pretty good teams, the Blazers, the Lakers, and the Grizzlies, the Rockets beat them all, and none of them even felt all that close in the final 3 minutes of the game. So kudos to the leadership of the Rockets. More than any individual stat line, that to me is what has shown through over the past week. And really, I would say it's interesting that the Rockets play the Jazz on Monday, because I would say it started after that last Utah game when they were embarrassed on national TV about 10 days ago. Because really, we've seen four straight very quality performances from the Rockets. They just didn't get the result in the first one in Dallas because of Luka's late run and then Chris Paul, James Harden, and Eric Gordon all having some low lights in the final couple of minutes. Generally speaking, they played four straight quality games since that last embarrassment in Utah, and I think it reflects very well on the culture of the team, and that's why, big picture, I'm more optimistic than I was 3 years ago at this time, because in addition to whatever the issues are positively and negatively in terms of the roster composition, there is more leadership in place to make sure that things don't spiral to the depths that they continued to a few years ago. I do think the Rockets, they seem to be in a much healthier mental spot right now than they were 3 weeks ago. And so salute certainly to James Harden, but also Chris Paul and Mike D'Antoni for not letting this season go off the rails. Now, more specifically to Saturday, the 105-97 win the Rockets had in Memphis, it's all James Harden. 32 points, 12 rebounds, which led the team, 10 assists. We talk about the Rockets on the year being a bottom five defensive rebounding team. Well, the Rockets against a pretty big Grizzlies squad led by Marc Gasol, Jaren Jackson on the front line actually out-rebounded them 36-35, and that comes a couple days after they out-rebounded by quite a bit a very big Los Angeles Lakers team. And so it helps when you have guards that chip in. Chris Paul had his triple-double on Tuesday, and the last two games you've had triple-doubles from James Harden. So for three consecutive games in this winning streak, you've had either Chris or James guards being able to get in double figures in rebounding. So that's what you need to help out Clint Capella, who was very strong, more on him in a little bit, 26 and 10 in his 35 minutes against Gasol. But to overcome, especially with the absence of James Ennis with the hamstring strain, which makes you even smaller, effectively with Brandon Knight, albeit very limited minutes, taking some from James Ennis, you need your guards to chip in more. Well, in addition to all the shooting exploits, then you're getting Chris Paul and James Harden to help out on the glass as well. But with James, it's the all-around performance. The 12 rebounds help, but so do the 32 points and 10 assists. 9 of 14 shooting, 3 of 7 from 3, so he's pretty good from 3, but he was 6 of 7 inside the arc, got to the line 13 times, made 11 of those. So as I said in Friday's show, despite all the national controversy after Harden in that national TV game against the Lakers getting to the line 19 times, I never bought into it all that much because, quite frankly, the referees themselves go to the official NBA refs Twitter account were pushing back so strongly. And number one, the calls were right. The Lakers just have a very loud fan base. They haven't been relevant in a while. There were no other games that night. And through social media, the narrative, Harden gets too many foul calls, took on a life of its own. Well, if you had any fears about how that might impact the Rockets, I would say they should have been mitigated greatly by what we saw the very next game Saturday in Memphis, because even on the road, he got to the line 13 times, including a stretch late in the game in the final 3 minutes where he got to the line between the 253 mark and 116. The Rockets didn't make a field goal, but they had 5 points because Harden got to the line, or they had 4 points because Harden went to the line 5 times, made 4 of them, including on a foul from Jaren Jackson shooting a 3 with a minute 16 left. The crowd, the Memphis bench were all over the officials, but kudos to Tony Brothers and his crew. They got it right, and they trusted what they saw. They didn't get bullied, and that's why I never bought into the officiating narrative as being all that concerning, because as long as the officials feel they're in the right, and they were, the video doesn't lie, then they can filter out the noise. That's one thing that, generally speaking, they are. Not all of them, but most, I would say, do a pretty good job of filtering out the noise and focusing on what they see. But for Harden, it's his second straight triple-double in his last two games. Of course, Thursday was the 50-point triple-double, a record-setting fourth of his career. No one has ever done that before, and Harden isn't even 30 years old. Think about that. In his last two games, Harden has put up 82 points, 21 assists, 22 rebounds, and 4 steals, both triple-doubles. Just staggering how good he is. And to put it in perspective, Harden is a guy, he was the MVP a year ago. He was also the player's MVP in the 2014-2015 season. So in two of the past four seasons, he's had one of the MVP awards. In another one, the 2016-2017, he was the runner-up to Russell Westbrook. So in three of the last 4 years, he's been either the MVP or the runner-up. Two of them, he's gotten the awards. He's taken on an enormous workload. He's 29 years old, and he has had a couple of minor hamstring issues the last 2 years. We always enter every season saying, is this the year there's going to be a bit of a slip from James Harden? Because even someone of that stature, you can't consistently ask the world of him. And yet somehow he continues to deliver. And even compared to last year when he was the MVP of the league, right now on a per game basis, he's averaging more points, he's averaging more rebounds, he's averaging more steals, and he's doing it on a higher field goal percentage and a higher three-point percentage. Simply incredible. Now, that's not to say he's been perfect. He is averaging more than one additional turnover per game relative to last year, and his defensive metrics have slipped a bit, so there is room for improvement. But the fact that you can see even some numbers that are better than what he gave you a year ago when he was as close to a consensus MVP as you will find, it's just staggering that even at 29 years old, he continues to get better. And that's why the Rockets, led by Daryl Morey, are not going to pivot to this upcoming summer or any future seasons. When you have this guy in his prime, every season is precious. You need to make the most of it and give him an opportunity. Because in a league where it all comes down to individual greatness and transcendent talents being able to steal games that could go any direction in the final few minutes, when you have James Harden giving you this, there's no such thing as a lost season. Every year, with him giving you this level of production in his prime, you have got to treat as precious, and that's why I firmly believe, and of course there's the contractual issues with Chris Paul as well, but the Rockets are all in on this season. They are not pivoting to future seasons. They are trying to make the most of this brilliant version of Chris Paul. Now, yes, he could use some more help. Generally speaking, outside of the roster composition issues, depth, defense, Chris Paul and Eric Gordon have been the two guys that individually have been lagging their projected efficiency the most on this roster. And Saturday night, that was true as well. Combined 5 of 21 from the field for those guys, including 2 of 15 from 3. So yes, Harden needs more help. But ultimately, I'm confident Eric Gordon isn't even 30 years old. I think some of it's just random slumps that happen to any NBA player. And it just happens to be that with Chris and especially Eric, it's early in the year. But eventually, James needs more help from those guys. But for now, when you've won 3 straight games all over relative Western Conference heavyweights, smile. Enjoy it. Take a deep breath and think about this version of James Harden, who even when he's coming close to approaching 30, is not showing any signs of slippage. Back-to-back triple-doubles and the MVP of the league guiding your team to a 3-0 week, headlined by a tough road win against a quality Memphis team. More than anything, enjoy James Harden. He is historic. You don't see many players like him. I know that even though his numbers suggest he's an all-time great, just like Hakeem in the 90s, he's going to have to get a ring, and I know the competition with the Warriors is deeper than ever, but to actually get his due as an all-timer, he's going to have to win a ring or two. That's the way it goes. Thankfully, he's not even 30 yet, so he does have quite a few years left, assuming health. But other than the last thing, which is to get the ring, he's up there with any of the all-time greats. Enjoy it. He's gotten you these past two wins, and that's why even in a season where so much has gone wrong, suddenly the Rockets are right there, not just on the edge of the Western Conference playoff picture, but only about 3 games back of the number 3 seed. So despite everything that's gone wrong, the Rockets coming off 3 straight wins and the latest, the 105-97 win in Memphis Saturday night, they're in a pretty good position. Thank the reigning MVP, because that's what James Harden can do. He has turned this season around for the Rockets, and all of a sudden, 7 days after it felt like so many things were going wrong, things all of a sudden feel very positive here in Houston again. Now, jumping back into the program, we spent the first segment largely talking about the team as a whole and James Harden. because when you've been through the ups and downs of the Rockets this season, it's not just about one game. Now, certainly we can talk about James Harden, whose individual brilliance is just breathtaking. But for the Rockets, it's trying to piece together the extreme highs and lows. They started 1-5. They had the stretch of 5 straight wins and 8-10. Then they had a stretch in which they lost 4 in a row and 7-9. Now, all of a sudden, they've won 3 straight games, all against Western Conference relative heavyweights in the Blazers, the Lakers, the Grizzlies. So it's been a very streaky year. And because of that, I'm not going to say the Rockets are back to where we expected them to be. I'm certainly feeling a lot better about them. But we've been through this before in terms of the 5-game winning streak, 8-10, the 2 big wins earlier this month over the Spurs and the Bulls. Neither of those teams is that good, but to beat them by an average of 25 points per game, I'm not going to say, even though it's 3 games in a row, that they're where, even in terms of just current play, that they expect to be, because they're 14-14 on the year. The record doesn't lie. But beyond that, to take it from more of a micro view and spin it to more of a macro view, looking at the season as a whole, the most consistent trends amid all this inconsistency have been certainly the depth issues, but also the defense. Because ever since ditching Carmelo Anthony, the Rockets have been the best offensive team in the league. They've largely figured that out, although there have been a few blips here or there, especially when Chris Paul was out injured. But it's defense where they continue to be a bottom 10, bottom 5 in some metrics. And that's where Saturday night in Memphis was so encouraging, holding the Grizzlies to 97 points, but just 40 in the first half, including 11 in the second quarter. Clint Capella held his own, and more so against Marc Gasol, 26-10 compared to Gasol's 17-9. Also, P.J. Tucker on the front line, 39 minutes, 7 boards, 14 points, including 4 of 9 from behind the arc. And as mentioned earlier, the Rockets getting some help from James Harden on the glass with his 12 rebounds, actually out-rebounded a pretty big Grizzlies front line led by Gasol and Jaren Jackson. Rockets 36, Grizzlies 35. Defensive rebounding has been an issue for the Rockets. Well, they're starting to fix that. More contributions from the backcourt on the glass is one way of doing it. Another way is keeping Clint Capella closer to the rim. That's an adjustment they've made in the past few days, because we've said all season long, Capella is not really the same guy he was a year ago in terms of his ability to switch. He's had upticks in production against certain stylistic matchups. Certainly, Andre Drummond, Tristan Thompson, those types seem to be more advantageous for Capella, who's now bigger and tougher than he's ever been, but he's not as fleet of foot on the perimeter. Well, to counter that, the Rockets have started using Capella in much the same way they use a 36-year-old Nene, being able to drop him back near the rim, and that also leaves him in a better position to rebound. So by doing that, not only do you not put him in as much of a consistent disadvantage with his foot speed issues, maybe he's a touch heavy, I'm not sure what it is, but you also help your rebounding issues by keeping your near 7-footer closer to the rim. But I think the really interesting takeaway from this is that we're starting to see certain matchups that, in my opinion, are more friendly for Clint Capella. And for the Rockets, the 30,000-foot view, beyond just making it into the playoffs, which is not the foregone conclusion that we all expected, but certainly I think it's still very likely. And once they get there, it does seem like there's a certain type of matchup where Capella is better suited. And I think for the Rockets, you know what you're going to get from James Harden. And ultimately, I feel pretty good. We've seen enough highs from Chris Paul that I think he's going to figure out it out and become more efficient as well. On the year, I know he's a third of the way through the season, so he may not be quite as efficient as a year ago, but no, I don't think Chris Paul is washed. I think he's going to be fine. But it's Clint Capella, even though, you know, he's the third part of the big three, we know what the Rockets' record is the last 2 years with those big three all playing, still very good, that's the foundation. But there are certain matchups, whereas with Harden and Paul, they're top 10 players, Harden the MVP, Chris Paul certainly can, I still believe, when he's in hashtag playoff CP3 mode, be that top 10 level guy. Capella is the one that, while very good, the level of greatness is somewhat conditional on the opponent. And I think where Clint really shines is these matchups like Gasol with the Grizzlies. You can also say Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets, who the Rockets have beaten 7 or 8 consecutive times, where he can match the physicality near the rim. Now, yes, I understand Jokic can shoot. He can pass really well. But much like Gasol, the common thread there is that they are big physical presence on the low block. And Capella can match their level of physicality. He couldn't earlier in his career, but he's gotten tougher. But yet, he is more of an athlete that can provide more vertical spacing than those guys are able to match. Those, to me, are the matchups where Capella and the Rockets really, really shine, because he's tough enough to hold his own from a physical standpoint, but he's more of an athlete. And so overall, the edge goes to Houston. And I think to some degree, we saw it with Utah as well in the playoffs. Now, I know Capella didn't fare that well a couple of weeks ago against, well, it wasn't so much Rudy Gobert. The game got weird because Gobert got ejected 2 minutes in, and then it was Derek Favors who played some very inspired ball, although really with the Rockets in Utah. I think that was more of a collective team spirit issue. Everything went wrong in that game. We'll see what happens in the rematch Monday night when the Jazz are in Houston. But in my opinion, bigger picture, the matchups where Clint struggles a bit, it's the Blazers, it's the Warriors, teams where there are so many electric one-on-one playmakers that even if you try schematically to drop the big man more, which is something the Rockets and Jeff Bezdelic have started to do lately because the switching with Capella on the perimeter isn't doing as well as it did a year ago. It's tough to make those changes during the season, but with the results the Rockets have had, and starting the year 11-14, they don't have much of a choice. But when you have multiple elite one-on-one players, like we saw Lillard and McCollum earlier in the week from the Blazers, and certainly the Warriors, it's not just Capella and the Rockets. The Warriors can scheme almost any traditional big out of their sets just based on that death lineup with Draymond at the five. But I think there are some common themes in that even if you try to drop that big back, if you have two or three elite one-on-one players, you can hunt that mismatch. You can eventually put him in a position where he's on a guy that, quite simply, can break him down. And I'm not saying there's no counter to that. I think that over time, I think he'll improve his fitness. He's still just 24 years old, so it's certainly not like there's a major age component to this. I think he'll progressively get lighter and hopefully by the playoffs be closer to the guy we saw who, even when switched on to the likes of Steph Curry, was able to hold his own a season ago. But for now, I think there are certain advantages that are better for him matchup-wise. Certainly Memphis, Denver, we talked about them. I would also say Utah, because, of course, Gobert is more traditional around the rim. We saw Clint have success in the Rockets' 4-1 playoff series win a year ago. And really, the Jazz, for all of their strength, they only have one consistently above-average one-on-one player on the perimeter, that being Donovan Mitchell. So, to sum up, while it's early in the year, and yes, Clint Capella, I don't care who you go against, 26 points, 10 rebounds, 10 of 14 from the field, 2 blocks, which was his stat line in 35 minutes in Memphis Saturday night, it's impressive. But to me, especially if we concede that Capella isn't quite the guy, maybe it changes, but I don't want to assume that until we see it, to where he can be more switchable like he was a year ago. If the Rockets are going to drop Capella more, if he's going to be more of a traditional big, then to me, when you look at the Western Conference playoff picture, there are some matchups that are more beneficial for him in his current state than others. In my opinion, the Grizzlies and the Nuggets are among those teams, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Jazz are as well, but time will tell, and we'll see that starting Monday night in the next Rockets game at Toyota Center, again, against those Utah Jazz. But certainly when it comes to fixing the Rockets, it starts with fixing the defense, and Clint Capella, that's what he's paid to do. Chris Paul, James Harden, they're largely paid for their offensive contributions. Now, it's not to say that they're not able to bring you many things, especially CP3 and his awareness on the defensive end, but Clint Capella is expected to be your anchor on that side of the ball, not just rebounding, but really rim protection. So when it comes to fixing the defense, especially with your current personnel, the one guy you need more out of is Clint Capella. And the big takeaway beyond just seeing him have success against Marc Gasol, which is nice, there are certain matchups that are beneficial to him. And fortunately, in the near term on the schedule, there appear to be more of them. So hopefully it's an opportunity for the Rockets to keep this momentum going. Final point of our usual 3 points recap here at Lockdown Rockets, this time on Sunday, recapping Saturday night's 105-97 win by the Rockets in Memphis. And it's that hashtag greenhouse effect. It feels like we've been doing it more and more lately because after being one of the league's lowest scoring benches for most of the year, there's been a sudden uptick in production, primarily from Gerald Green and Daniel House. And House, even though he went scoreless Saturday night in Memphis in 19 minutes, he was a team best plus 14 in the plus minus. But from a more traditional points perspective, while House was the standout in Thursday's win over the Lakers, well, Saturday, it was Gerald Green's turn, 17 points, 4 of 4 from behind the arc in just 22 minutes, and plus 10, which after House at plus 14, that's the second-best plus-minus on the Rockets roster. And we've spoken the last few episodes about those two. Generally speaking, they bring a dose of energy off the bench. The Rockets have also started playing with more pace over the past week, especially with those bench units led by Chris Paul. Even though he's more comfortable in a slowdown pace, I think the Rockets and Chris realize that it's to the advantages of those role players like Gerald and Daniel to get out and run. So Chris is playing to their strengths a bit more, and that's playing into their success. But it's one thing for role players like that to play well at home. That's something we've said over the past two recaps of the Portland game and the LA game, which is that role players, well, they can feed off the crowd. What you want to see is what happens when they're on the road. And that's where it feels so good to see Gerald Green give you what he gave you Saturday night. And it's not just that game. In his last three games, Gerald is 9 of 11 from 3. And even though it feels like on the year as a whole, he's been a bit of an underachiever. Now, yes, he's had a couple of ankle issues to deal with. But until this past week, through his first 21 games of the season, the Rockets had 25, but he missed 4 due to injury, Gerald was shooting just 30% from 3. Well, all it's taken is 3 good games, again, a combined 9 of 11 from 3 against the Blazers, the Lakers, and the Grizzlies, and now all of a sudden, his 3-point percentage on the year is above 35%. And while that's not an elite figure, it's certainly good enough, especially when you take the high volume of threes that the Rockets do, and certainly hashtag green light Gerald Green does in this Mike D'Antoni offense. And what it shows you, certainly, as I've said the last few episodes, Green has that I don't give a bleep mentality, which plays to his success, and I think Daniel House has that as well. That's why they're good fits, really, in any scheme. It's what makes a lot of NBA role players viable, but especially in this one where Mike D'Antoni always wants you to take the open shot, doesn't want any player to play with fear. But overall, if there's a defining characteristic that you want from your role players under Mike D'Antoni, it's that you want them to trust in the law of averages, that eventually, if you keep shooting, the shots are going to fall. And the same principle applies to Chris Paul and Eric Gordon, who are currently slumping in terms of their shooting. Mentioned earlier, Saturday night, they were combined 5 of 21 overall and 2 of 15 from behind the arc. To succeed in Mike D'Antoni's system, you can't get down on yourself. And Gerald went through a 21-game stretch in which he shot just 30% from 3. That's not good enough. Yet all it's taken is one positive 3-game stretch, 9 of 11, and now all of a sudden he's above 35%, and he's right where you would expect him to be. So ultimately, especially with role players, that's what's going to determine success under Mike D'Antoni. To contrast it to a season ago, we saw with Ryan Anderson, who there's lots of data showing that he's a positive 3-point shooter, yet when he went through a couple of games in which the shots weren't falling, he got tentative. He passed up open shots, and it's not just a matter of him not contributing. It would break the offense down because everything the Rockets do is built around the principle of quickly firing when you have that open three. And, of course, it's not just that possession. It's also what it does to the defense and how it makes them overreact and open up driving lanes eventually for the likes of James Harden and Chris Paul because the defenders are so worried about the quick release, which is another thing that Gerald Green has. Boy, can he put up those threes so quickly. And, of course, he's able to get himself in rhythm in a relatively expedient fashion. So overall, it's nice to see Gerald get the ball to go through the bucket. It's good for him. It's certainly good for the Rockets to get more production off the bench, a unit that by and large this season has not been anywhere near good enough, although it has started to stabilize since the return of Nene a couple of weeks ago, replacing Isaiah Hartenstein, who, by the way, has played very well with the G League Rio Grande Valley Vipers. We'll see if that gives him another opportunity down the line, especially considering I'm sure Nene is going to take some games off from time to time at 36 years old. But I do think that Gerald's success plays into a much larger theme, which is that role players that succeed in Houston, it's not just about the skill set, it's also about the mentality. It's about the trust that even if you're cold, as long as you keep shooting, then eventually the law of averages is going to win out. You're going to revert back to what your career norms say you should be as long as you just continue to trust, you continue to fire away. It's paid off for Gerald Green of late, and hopefully, for the sake of James Harden, it pays off for Eric Gordon and Chris Paul as well. But what will happen on that front? Time will tell. Whatever the end result may be, though, of course, we'll have you covered right here at Locked On Rockets because we are your home for daily podcast commentary on everything Houston Rockets basketball. And while this is about the end of this episode, Sunday's recap of the 105-97 win the Rockets posted Saturday night in Memphis, you'll be hearing again from us very soon because, again, the Rockets back on the hardwood Monday night when they host the Utah Jazz at Toyota Center in Houston. So for now, this is where we will sign off. But if you want more content before our next show, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. We also got an email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, a Facebook account, facebook.com/lockedonrockets, and a website, lockedonrockets.com. All those are ways you can access our prior content. You can ask me questions about the team, make inquiries about how to become a potential sponsor, pretty much anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan, or even just you, the human being, and your business. Don't hesitate to reach out and let me know. Also, if you have not subscribed to us already, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, TuneIn, so on and so forth. The odds are you can find us on there because we have a great network of distribution based on being part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Local experts across not just the NBA, but the NFL, even some Major League Baseball and college sports. So based on the strength of our collective network, you can find us pretty much on your listening platform of choice. So if you subscribe to us, that's how you get the benefit of getting episodes right when they come out, even before I'm able to post them on Twitter. They'll be delivered to your inbox. And if you'd also be kind enough to leave a 5-star review between the subscription figures and the 5-star reviews, that's how we can look attractive to potential advertisers and keep the business model working here at Locked On Rockets, the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. And while you're giving a listen to Locked On Rockets, why don't you check out some other shows across this awesome Locked On Podcast Network as well. That includes Locked On Texans, Across Town, hosted by Robert Land and Brian Patterson, my good friends. They cover the NFL's Houston Texans, who had a big win on Saturday, Texans 29, Jets 22 in New York. That improves the Texans to 10-4 on the year. For now, has them positioned for a 2-seed in the AFC playoffs and a bye. Need some help from Pittsburgh today against New England. But whatever the case, Locked On Texans will have you covered if you want to see the Texans entering what's almost certainly a playoff run at this point. Again, check out Locked On Texans, hosted by Robert Land and Brian Patterson. You can find them on the same platforms where you find Locked On Rockets. So with the plugs out of the way, this is where we'll leave off. Again, the happy final from Memphis on Saturday night. Rockets 105, Grizzlies 97. Rockets have won 3 in a row and now improved to 14-14 on the year. With that, enjoy the start to the week and come back soon and check out more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.